You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Well, hey, church family, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew's the first book in your New Testament. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to spend our time today and next Sunday talking about your foundation. Your foundation. And then let me just give you a heads up. On Sunday, September 9th, 2 weeks from today, we're going to dive into a little bit of a larger series. It is called this. It's called The Secret to Your Dream Life. And yes, I know how that title sounds. I know that that title sounds like it should be like the title for, you know, one of those like clickbait articles online. You know what I'm talking about? 10 ways to a better life. And then you click on it and you go, I just got to see this. Or I love these. 21 ways to make yourself irresistible. You know what I'm talking about? And then you click through all 21 because you're like, I just got to see this, right? But then at the end, it's just the biggest bunch of unpractical nonsense you've ever heard in your life, right? So you want to make yourself irresistible? That list is about 5 things long. Listen to me. Love Jesus. Be kind, take a shower, eat healthy, and be generous as you manage your money well. Boom, you're now irresistible. You're welcome. That was for free right there. Some of you are like, put that up on the screen. I need to see. You can listen to it online later. I know that that title, The Secret to Your Dream Life, for some of you old school church people, that may sound like kind of like an old school prosperity message. I get it, but I'm not messing around. This is something that God has been laying on my heart for weeks now, okay? And listen, there really is in the Bible, I'm going to say it this way, we'll unpack it, but there is a secret. And in fact, let me just say this. It's a secret that Jesus tells us about. So how many of you know it's not really a secret, right? But most people who are following Jesus today are not applying this secret thing to their lives that Jesus tells us about, and therefore we're not living in the dream, okay? But we're going to talk all about what it is and how to do it. Man, I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. So that's just my little teaser, all right? Make plans to be with us on Sunday, September 9th. I think God's going to do something powerful in our lives, all right? But listen, today's message and next week's message are going to build up to that series, and I'm excited about what we're talking about today and next week because I believe what we're going to talk about today and next week are what I would call now messages, meaning this, that sometimes God lays like a series on our hearts and we begin to pray about that and plan for that, and then sometimes God shows up rather strongly and says, you need to talk about this now. And so that's kind of what has happened this past week. I'm just going to tell you, on Monday morning, I woke up at about 5 a.m. after having a dream. And I don't think that all my dreams are from God, but I really felt like this was a dream from God, okay? This was the dream. In the dream, I saw a house, and I saw rains just coming down all around this house, and I saw flood waters beginning to build up around the foundation of the house and debris and all kinds of other junk, okay? But then I didn't see God in the dream, but I heard the voice of God. And I heard the voice of God begin to speak to all that flood water and that debris, and I heard him say this, get back from the foundation. Get away from the foundation of this house. And so listen, I want you to see the picture. Here's what I saw. I watched as the voice of God pushed back. Or let me say it this way. I watched as the word of God, you following me? Pushed back the flood water and the debris from the foundation of this house. And that's when I woke up, and I really woke up with a sense that we are to talk about our foundations. That you and I are to look at our foundations and what we are truly building our lives on. And so I've been praying about this message all week. God has continued to confirm it. I really believe this is for all of us. We need to look at our foundations, not just what we say or think we're building our lives on, but we need to take a real look and ask ourselves, what am I really building my life on? Are you with me? Okay, so listen to me. There are two groups of people in life. People who build their lives on a firm, solid foundation, and people who don't. People who build their lives on the Word of God, and people who don't. Okay, have you ever found yourself in a group of people that you didn't want to be a part of? Like, think back, how about if we remember our times in gym class? Or maybe if you've ever played sports and you've been on a team, how many of you guys remember scrimmage time and your coach would split your team up and then you'd find yourself over here on one team, but maybe a bunch of your other friends would be over on this other team in scrimmage and you were wishing you were over there with them. You remember that feeling? Yeah, or how about this? How many people remember shirts and skins? The guys remember shirts and skins, don't we? You know what I'm talking about, right? And wasn't that just the worst sometimes? Right? And so I was thinking about it. They probably don't actually do shirts and skins anymore, do they? I see a teacher. Two teachers are shaking. They don't do that. We're probably too sensitive as a society to do shirts and skins now, right? Right? And so listen, if you're young, here's what would happen, okay? Instead of having like those practice scrimmage jerseys, those vests you put on now, you know? Know what I'm talking about? Here's what would happen. Come on, guys. Your coach would look at you and say, you five, leave your shirts on. You five, take your shirts off. Let's scrimmage. And that's how you knew which team you were on, right? And I think if we're honest, there was always a certain level of humiliation that came with being on the skins team. Am I right? Now, I personally didn't have a problem with it because let's face it, I'm just shredded under here right now. I got nothing to hide. Now listen, I think I speak for all of us. We probably had some experience. If you ever had the shirts and skins experience, you probably were like, man, I wish I was on the shirts team at some point, okay? Listen to me, all right? And yes, that was the most spiritual analogy you've ever heard in your life. Okay, here's what I'm saying, all right? There's two different groups. Everyone in life is in two different groups right now. You are in one of two groups, even right here and now in church this morning. You're either actively building your life on the Word of God, on a firm foundation, or you're actively not doing that. And I'm telling you, there is a day coming. There's a day coming where everyone who's not actively building their life on God's word, there's a day coming where they're going to wish so bad that they had. They're going to wish so bad they were in the other group. So let me show you this, all right? With your Bibles open to Matthew 7, we're going to pick it up in verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Listen, this is Jesus speaking, and just please watch what he says in church. It is hard for me to describe just how much you and I need to get this. We need to understand this. What we're about to read is both fascinating and potentially frightening all at the same time. Okay, so please follow along closely, okay? Here we go. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, do you see that? Again, so please see this, okay, based on what we're reading. Again, these two groups of people are even right here with us in church today, because he just said, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord. Do people that aren't in church typically call Jesus Lord? So he says, not everyone who calls me Lord will enter heaven. In other words, according to Jesus, there's a bunch of people in church every Sunday. There's a large group of people who aren't going to heaven when they die. Instead, here's the group that will. Watch. He says, only those who actually, notice that word actually, who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. That's the only group that will enter heaven. If you haven't had your coffee yet, this ought to wake you up. He says, and listen, I want you to remember this next part because we're going to come back to this. He says, on judgment day, many, not even just a few, but many will say to me, Lord, but Lord, but we prophesied in your name. And we cast out demons in your name. And we performed many miracles in your name. Okay, I just want to point this out. Would you not agree with me that these are church people? These are things that church people do, right? But watch. He says, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me. You who break God's laws. Again, you got to see this. Two different groups. Okay, one, remains with Jesus and gets to enter into heaven with Jesus. The other is told to get away from him. And friends, after Judgment Day, if you're told to get away from Jesus, there's only one other place that you can get away to. Two groups. And listen, are you seeing the difference between these two groups? Are you seeing this? One group, Jesus says, actually does the will of God. Let me just say that very plainly. One of these groups actually obeys Jesus. The other group, Jesus says, the ones that have to get away from him, they're people, he says, who break God's laws. And so, okay, according to what we just saw, this is what's fascinating and potentially frightening all at the same time. This group of people that has to get away from him, it's not just full of atheists and agnostics and people that might worship other gods. Yeah, they're going to be there too. This is why we got to make disciples who make disciples. But according to what we just read, this group includes a large number of church people, people that have called him Lord. Two groups, but please notice this. Here's the difference. Obedience and disobedience. Are you seeing this? Listen, so please stick with me. Listen, I know this is strong, but he wants you to understand this. He wants you and I to be aware of what it really takes. So he's going to further explain it now in a way that hopefully we can all understand. Listen, no matter where you're at right now, no matter which group you might feel like you're a part of, he wants you to be a part of his kingdom, his family, right here and now and forevermore. This is why he's telling us about this. He's telling us in advance. And so here it is. Watch. Here's what it takes. He says, verse 24. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. They're like a person who builds a house on solid rock. There's the foundation right there. Come on, you see that? And listen to me, that's what it takes right there. They listen and they follow Jesus. They follow what he says. It has to be both of those things. It can't just be one or the other. It has to be both. Church, that's the first group. That's the one we talked about who actually does the will of God the Father. They're like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Watch this. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. Their lives are built on a solid foundation. Their lives are built on the word of God. Their lives are lived in obedience to God's word. But here's the other group. But anyone who hears my teaching, and it's the opposite, and doesn't obey it. And let me point this out. He just said they hear. You guys see that? He just said they hear. Anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, both in this life right here and now and on this day of judgment to come. And listen, watch what he says. He says, When the rains come and beat against that house, when it beats against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash in this life and on that judgment day to come. Listen, judgment day isn't so much about, let me just break down judgment day. It's simply going to be a revealing of what your life has really been about. It's simply, on judgment day just means God's going to judge and see what has your life really been about. Does that make sense? Your foundation is going to be revealed at that point. One more time, two groups, one that enters the kingdom of heaven and one that doesn't. One that one that withstands the fury of the storm and one that collapses on the sand. And the difference is this: one group actually does the will of God. They listen to the word and obey, and the other doesn't. One stands on a solid rock, on a firm foundation that won't budge, and the other stands on sand. I got to know, are you seeing this? And do we understand? I hope we understand. Do we get the difference between solid rock and sand? Where I live, where my house is, we have a dirt road that runs right in front of our house, okay, a sandy dirt road, but there's all the other streets in the neighborhood are paved. And so my family, we love to go on walks around the neighborhood. We got this beagle puppy. She is just the best and just warms my heart, and I love to take that girl on walks all over the neighborhood. But so when we go on family walks, Rachel and I will typically walk, but our boys will ride their bikes. And we've got two young boys, and they've got BMX bikes. Any of you guys or ladies have a BMX bike when you were growing up? Anybody watch the movie Rad when you were growing up? Literally no one. Man. Oh, come on. This is a bond that can't be broken over that right there. Yeah. I'm not sure if I should encourage you to watch it or not, but that was my life, okay? And this is what I mean. Come on, if you've ever had a BMX bike and you're a kid, you know this. Every curb is a monster ramp, right? And every street is a racetrack. And so we'll be walking, and our kids, man, they'll just take off on the street as fast as they can. And look, it's perfectly fine as long as they're on the paved roads. It's perfectly fine because, man, those roads are solid. Their tires are going to grip the pavement. There's no chance that the road's going to slip and slide out from under them. Okay, but we ran into this problem a few times where we would be heading back home on the paved street about to get to the dirt road, and our kids would take off as fast as they could for that dirt road. And some of you know where I'm going with this, right? Because you were a kid once too. And they're taking off as fast as they can. They're about 25 yards ahead of us, and Rachel and I are yelling, "Slow down! Be careful!" And sure enough, on more than one occasion, it's happened where they've hit that sandy gravel road and they've done that sideways slide and collapsed and skidded across that gravel. And you remember, it's the worst, isn't it? Hands all skinned up, your elbows, your knees all skinned up. Well, listen, thankfully, it's only taken a couple times for them to begin to realize we need to listen to what mom and dad say. And we need to do what they say as well. Church family, listen to me. I love you so much. So I want to make this as easy to understand as possible. I do not want there to be a day where you find yourself wishing you had been a part of a different group. I want so bad for all of us to get this right here and now. I want everybody to start building on a solid foundation, build your life on the rock. And so Jesus says, people who build their lives on the rock are people who listen to him and obey. They're people who actually do the will of the Father. In contrast, the people who build on the sand are people who Jesus says break God's laws. Okay, so obedience is required. Would you agree with that? Come on, one more time. Would you agree with that? Obedience is required. Okay, so if keeping God's law is required, if doing God's will is what it takes, then here's the question: what is God's will and how do we do it? What's God's will and how do we do it? Again, I want to make this so simple. So follow me, and I've got good news because Jesus answers those questions for us. Okay, watch this. You guys remember? Jesus was asked, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? In other words, what's God's biggest law? What's his ultimate will that we are supposed to do? What are we supposed to obey above everything else? And do you remember what Jesus said? Come on. He said, this is it. Love who? The Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Love him with everything that you are and in everything that you do. And then he said, the second greatest commandment is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love people unconditionally the way Jesus loves people unconditionally. This is God's greatest will. This is the law we are to obey. Love God with everything we are and in everything we do. And part of the way you love God in everything you do is you love other people the way Jesus loves other people. That's God's will. That is the law we are to obey. Okay, but very practically, How does that love play out in real time? How does that play out in our lives in real time? How do we love him and others? Because you might show up on Sunday and you might be tempted to just say, man, I love God. I love him. I mean, I got a good feeling about him right here. And I sing the songs. I even listen to a sermon podcast every once in a while. Listen, what does it really take, okay? listen to me, there's only one way to know for sure if you really do love him. So how can you know if you love God or not? Jesus tells us. Okay, watch this. Jesus tells us, John 14, verses 23 through 24. Here's how love for God and others plays out in real time in everyday life. He says, all who love me, here we go, will do what I say. You see that? And watch this. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. By the way, when that happens, that means you get to live in the kingdom right here and now, and therefore you get to enter the kingdom of heaven to come. But watch, he's not done. He's going to contrast it. Verse 24, he says, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. Gathering family, listen to me so carefully. Love for God in real time is obedience to God. That's how you demonstrate your love for God. Love and obedience cannot be separated. They are intertwined. If you love God, you will actually do what he says to do. And we're going to have some church right now because this is what he tells us to do. It means you actively, I mean daily, consistently make sure your life is in God's hand. You give yourself over to his word and the things that he says, which means this, and here you're going to actively turn away from your sin. You're going to turn away from your sin, and then you actively love other people by sharing the love of Jesus with them. As we say around here, we live like disciples. You live saved, changed, and on mission. Family, when you love God and you obey his word, when you give your life to him, you will then love what he loves, and you will begin to hate what he hates. So that can only mean this. You will start doing things you've never done before, and you will stop doing things you've been doing. There has to be a starting process. There has to be a stopping process. So you will actively stop and begin to turn away from your sin. In real time, you will stop wanting to do and will therefore try to stop doing and do everything you can to begin to stop doing those sins or those things that you know he doesn't want you to be doing. You will actually agree with God and want to push that sin out of your life. You will get aggressive with your sin. You will not put yourself in those sinful situations. You will actively stop giving yourself over to your sinful desires. You will make it a priority to begin to confess your sin and even renounce the sins that you have taken part in. You got to see this. If you truly love God, there are things that you will start doing and things that you will stop. You'll give yourself to his word. You'll give yourself to the life that Jesus wants for you, which includes loving other people, which shows up in your life the same way it showed up in Jesus' life. You will actively begin to put the needs of others in front of your own. When you show up places, you'll start to show up with a new mindset of how can I help other people? Serving becomes a new way of life for you. You actively begin to become generous and think about how can I be generous to be a blessing to other people? You live that saved, changed, and on mission life so that the love that you have for God and the love that God has for you can be poured out through you so that other people can get saved, changed, and on mission. You don't just talk about it. You actually live it. You do it. Disciples get multiplied. And then that group of people who actually gets to enter into heaven, it continues to grow larger and larger while the other group gets smaller and smaller. If you really love God, there are things you have to start doing. And there are things you have to stop. And so listen, I know you might say, well, then I'm doomed because I'm stuck in this sin or I can't get over this sin or I keep going back to this sin. I don't know how to stop. You're not doomed. That's not what I'm saying today. Okay, listen to me. I am not talking to you about getting perfect. I'm not talking to you about perfection. I'm talking to you today about redemption. I'm talking to you today about repentance. About listening to Jesus right here and now in real time, every day, starting to move forward with Jesus, actually doing what Jesus says right here and right now, so that that sand and that flood water and that debris and the sin and the pain and the wounds and the lies that we have all lived in, that we have all taken part in, can begin to get pushed back from the foundation of our houses. It can get swept away so we can get firmed up, so that we can build our lives actively, daily, consistently, build our lives on the Word of God. I'm talking about God's will, and I'm talking about your will. What God really wants, and what you really want the most. Listen, we're all sinners. That's a given. Okay, that's not the question this morning. The question is, what do you really want more than your sin? Do you really want it to stop? And if you really want it to stop, will you really begin to do what it takes so that it can? Do you really want to start doing the things that God wants you to do? And if you really want to start doing the things that God wants you to do, you'll actually start doing the things, or do what it takes to start doing what He wants you to do. Listen to me, even if you're stuck in sin right now, the question is, what do you want more? The question is, who do you really want to be Lord? Do you want Him to be Lord? Or do you want to keep calling the shots? Jesus says, the wise man listens to God and follows Him and therefore builds his life on a firm foundation. But a fool, he says, hears God but doesn't obey and collapses on the sand. Let me say it this way. Foolish people are people who hear the right thing to do, but they just continue to go their own way instead. Foolish people are people that hear God's word, hear the right thing to do, but they ultimately don't surrender to His will. They ultimately just surrender to their own. They keep going after their own desires. They simply choose to continue going their own way. This is why Jesus says that even though they've called Him Lord, there comes a day where He says, it's time to get away. The day has come. Because I've never been your Lord. You've still been in charge of your life. And in that sense, Jesus says, I never knew you. We didn't have a relationship. Be honest with yourself right now this morning. Which group are you in? Which group are you really in? There are people, even in here today, who are in both groups. But get this, this is what's so amazing. Okay, right here and right now, today, even in church, the two groups aren't separated. The two groups are intermingled. Guess what that means? I'll tell you what that means. That's good news. It means God has grace for all of us today. It means He has grace for you right here and right now, no matter how you've been actively living your life right up to this moment. No matter what you're stuck in, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, it means He's got grace for you to begin to choose. He's got grace for all that stuff, and He has grace for you to begin to make the right choice today. In fact, this is how much grace He has. He's still giving you time to make the choice. Judgment Day isn't here yet, is it? It will be, though. It will be. And listen to me, please hear me. I don't want you to wake up one day when it's too late and you wish so bad that you had chosen differently. And Jesus doesn't want that either. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've been doing, look, even if you've been trying to make it look like you're a fancy church person, but deep down on the inside, you know your heart really isn't in it, Jesus wants you to get in it right now. He wants that for you. He wants to be with you. And we can all sit in church. We can all put on a show from time to time. We can all try to fool people, but we can't fool God. We can't fool Him. So He's got grace for you today to make that choice. He's given you the grace to start building your foundation with Him today. So you got to listen to me very carefully. Do not bank your current life and your eternity to come, Do not bank that on the love that other people around you have for God. Don't bank on their love for God. Listen to me. Do not bank your current life and your eternity to come. Do not bank that on the ministry that other people are giving and receiving all around you. Do not bank on that. You remember that group that Jesus told to get away? Remember, I told you to remember. What was it that they said to him? They said, "They come on, you could get the sense of fear. You could get the sense of regret as they began to speak to him. But Lord, we prophesied in your name. And we cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name." Here's what I wonder, though. I wonder if at least part of what they meant was, "But Lord, we attended a church that did those things every Sunday. But Lord, we sat in the crowd at a church that did those things." I'm going to say something strong, but with so much grace. I wonder how many people sit in the church crowd and count themselves in on the ministry that's taking place, but never truly participate in it themselves. That's not enough. It's not enough. And I don't want a single person who calls the gathering home to one day stand before God with fear, stressed out, wishing so bad they were in the other group, as perhaps they might say something like, but Lord, we saw Newton reborn. Because I think Jesus' question might be something like, but were you ever really reborn yourself? How did that play out in real time in your day-to-day life? Did you really help other people get reborn themselves? I think he might say, because listen, the essence of what he told that group of people that he said to get away. He said, "You listened to the messages." Come on, you heard the word. You sat in the church, but you ultimately didn't do. You ultimately didn't do what I wanted you to do. You didn't go all in with me. You didn't love me. You didn't truly allow me to love others through you. I wasn't your Lord. Church, family, listen to me. It's not enough just to hear the word of God and simply understand it. It's not enough just to hear the word of God and simply repeat it, or hear the word of God and discuss it, or hear the word of God and debate it, or hear the word of God and reflect upon it, or hear the word of God and make plans in your brain. One day I'm going to do what he says. No, the only way is to hear the word of God and do it, and do what he says in real time, each and every day. Make the choice that Jesus is your Lord. When you mess up, make the choice, "I'm going to repent. I don't want to go this way." Listen, repentance is actively doing what Jesus wants you to do. Again, I'm not talking to you about perfection. I'm simply talking about understanding, this is what God would have me do. I'm going to do it. Even when I messed up, "Oh, I'm sorry, I messed up. That is not who I want to be. That's not what I want to do." Come on, we say it around here. Disciples are to live lifestyles of repentance. But it means we have to agree with Jesus that the things we're repenting from are things we can't stick with. We've got to go a different way. Come on, today is the day. Which group are you in? Which group are you in? Be honest with yourself. What are you truly building your foundation on? Very practically, who has more say in your life? I mean, I'm being serious. Do things like Netflix, the shows you choose to watch, do they get more say in your life than God's word and what you should choose to give your eyes to? What about Facebook and the conversations you take part in? Do you actively participate in conversations and things that you know? I know this isn't what God would have for me. What about your desire for money? Which one gets more say in your life, your desire for money or God's word? What gets more say in your life, culture all around you or what God says? What gets more say in your life? Your friends and what they're doing, or how everybody else is living, and it's okay because they're making these decisions and they seem like they're fine, or God's word? What has more say in your life? The busyness that you choose to give yourself to, all the other things that you just, they may be okay, but that you just keep giving yourself to those things, do they have more say, or does God's word have more say in your life? So some of us have allowed sin and our desire for money or what our friends think or what culture says or just the busyness of life, the busyness of just other things. We have allowed those things to sink into our foundation. And those things, listen, those things that you're giving yourself to today that are not of God, they will not give you a foundation to stand on tomorrow. It's got to be God's way. Have you made choices? And maybe you've gotten yourself, you feel like you're in a bind. I've been going this way so long, or I've gotten myself in this living situation, and I don't know how to get out. I don't know how. And you know God's saying, do the right thing. This is the right thing. But you're thinking, man, it's just too tough, and I think I'm just going to stick with what I'm already doing. Come on, have you made that choice? Listen, if that's the choice you're making, you're just piling sand on top of sand. At some point, we got to do the right thing. We've got to live the way Jesus tells us to live. If not, listen, it's going to collapse. Maybe it already has collapsed. So, church family, I got good news. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He's got grace for you. He's got strength for you. Listen, I want you to look me in the eyes. He is not mad at you. He is not here to punish you. Sometimes we might think it's easy to think, oh, God's punishing me. Sometimes that's just because we're living in the midst of the consequences of the choices we've made that weren't what God would have for us. He's not here to punish you. He's got grace for you. Is it about to collapse? Maybe it already has collapsed. This is how good our God is. He'll help you pick up the pieces. And we will too. Man, we love you. We love you. I have zero expectation that anybody should walk in the doors here at the gathering and have a firm foundation under themselves already. Come on, we got to do this thing together. Amen? This is what we're called to do together. And so, listen, it just starts with being real, though. It starts with really acknowledging where we're at. And I know from experience that it's easy to sit in a church and have secret sin or have things that we just don't know how to confess or we just don't know how to get over. I know that from experience. But listen, by the grace of God, listen, I walked into a church at the age of 24. I was in this group of people that Jesus will one day say, get away from me. That's how I lived for the first 24 years of my life. I went to church every Sunday. I went to church every Wednesday night. I went to every youth group meeting and every little youth group getaway. I heard the word, but I did not do. He wasn't my Lord. At the age of 24, I walked into a church, and for the first time in my life, at least my eyes were open to it, I saw two pastors who loved Jesus, and it was obvious they were living. They were living out everything that they were living out what was being preached. And that right there changed my life. I got down on my knees, and this is the essence of what I said. Jesus, I need you to be my Lord. I need you to call the shots. I need you to be in charge. And I got up off my knees. I meant it. That day wasn't just lip service. That day wasn't just oh, this is another prayer. I need some help. I meant it. I said, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be in charge. I keep messing it up. And I got up off my knees different. Not perfect. So many issues, but I got up off my knees with a willingness and a desire. Jesus, I want to do things your way from here on out. And by the grace of God, I mean, even to this day, I'm still, God's revealing sin in my life, imperfections in my life, but my desire is not to hide it. My desire is, God, come on, infiltrate every area of my life. Get your word inside of me. I submit to you. Let's push this stuff out of the foundation. Let's get rid of it. Because I want to do things your way. Come on, church, is that what we want? Is that what you want? So I got nothing but grace. Jesus has nothing but grace. But I'm telling you, this is a safe place to confess sin. And this is the best church I've ever been a part of that helps people start doing the things that we need to be doing. Start actually living out the mission. Start actually being a disciple who makes disciples. Come on, what step do you need to take? This is a safe, I just want to reiterate that this is a safe place to confess sin. I'm not going to ask you in a church service to raise your hand and say, this is what I've done and this is who I've been. But I'm telling you, we got neighborhood gatherings with neighborhood gathering leaders. We got prayer leaders. We got pastors. We got all kinds of people. And this keeps happening. You should know there are people all around you. And I hear about it from time to time. I don't hear necessarily what they've done, but I just heard so-and-so got with so-and-so and confessed sin. And guess what we watch as we hear about those stories that they confess in? We keep watching them do more and more of what God has for their lives. Somebody get stoked. Come on. We can build on a firm foundation. You can. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What's that thing that you know, 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 that God doesn't want you to be doing anymore? What do you need to talk to somebody about? What do you need to do so that you can actually do what God wants you to do with that thing? What's that thing that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that you should have started doing or that God's calling you to do, but you haven't done it yet? What step do you need to take so that you can start? What do you really need to do so that you can start doing what God wants you to do? I'm telling you, with either of those steps right there, oh man, you're going to start firming up that foundation. That's a step towards solid rock. I didn't get saved, and all of a sudden, I mean, yes, and look, spiritually, God set me on the rock. He'll set you on the rock the day you get saved. But my choices and the other things that I've had to get rooted out of my life ever since that day I got saved, man, it's just been, God's been shoveling sand out of my life. Come on, you see that? Same can happen for all of us. With that step, you can start standing on a firm foundation. What step do you need to take? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What choice do you need to make today? Is there something you need to confess or talk to somebody about? And listen, maybe it's not even a sin outright. Maybe there's woundedness or depression or hurt or pain that you've experienced. Maybe something's happened to you. But if you're honest, maybe it's holding you back. Do you need to talk to somebody? We are here for you. And just keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed, but I'm telling you, just grab a connection card later and write on and say, I need to talk to somebody about what's really going on. We don't expect anybody to try to do these things on their own. Has God called you to take a step of maybe to serve or to get plugged in or go to connect or man, maybe he's got something else he's laying on your heart and you know you need to do it. Maybe I'm just be real, maybe tithing and you've been holding back on that. What's the step that Jesus is telling you to take? And hey, God's been doing something incredible in our midst. I don't want to ignore this. With every eye closed, every head bowed, do you need to give your life to Jesus today? Come on, maybe you've called him Lord in the past. The day I gave my life to Jesus, I heard the pastor say there are people in this room that have called Jesus Lord, but they've never actually let him be their Lord. That was me. The Holy Spirit showed me that. That's the day I invited Jesus to be my Lord, meaning I wanted to do what he wanted me to do from there on out. Do you need to do that today? Jesus is on the edge of his seat, wanting so bad. If there's anybody in here, I'm the only one looking around. If you need to do that, I'm just inviting you. Just raise your hand. Just tell me that. Anybody at all? I know we've done this for the last 3 weeks now. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. Come on, anybody else? Anybody else? Come on. If you raised your hand or if you didn't, I just want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Just follow this after me. Come on. Jesus, I give my life to you. I want you, Jesus, to be in charge of my life. I want you to be my Lord. I don't want to call the shots anymore. You are the Lord. I am not. I thank you that you, Lord, you went to the cross. You shed your blood to forgive all my sins, even all the ways that I've been Lord of my own life, even all the ways that I've ignored what you've said. But I choose today to stop going my own way, and I choose to follow you. I know you rose from the dead. You have the life that I need, and I want it. I invite you. Would you pour out your life into my heart? Would you make me new today? Come and have your way in my life. Come and have your way. Anybody else? Come on. You may have given your life to Jesus, but come on. Just would you commit to take the step he's telling you to take? Today is the day. Come on, pray with me. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, your ways are best. Jesus, I'm not just going to talk about it anymore. I'm not just going to think about it anymore. I'm not just going to ignore it. I'm going to get aggressive with it. I want to take the step you want me to take to stop, and I want to do everything I can to start. Help me, Jesus. Give me the strength today. Thank you that you forgive me. Lord, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you have life for all of us. Jesus, we pray together as a family, build us on a firm foundation. Lord, let us be a church built on a firm foundation that can reach out to others and pull them up onto a firm foundation. Lord, we want to see this city reborn. We want to be disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Come and multiply it through us. Come and do what only you can do. Come and have your way, Jesus. We follow you. We surrender to you. We need you. You have loved us, you love us right now, and we love you back. We thank you. We need you together. Come on, my whole church family said. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.